Job chapter 23, third message. As I mentioned before, when we first started this, I didn't know how it was going to go. I had 4 points, and I thought I was going to preach all 4 in one sermon, and got into the first one, and I said, well, that's not going to work. I'm going to have to preach that first one, and then the second one. Now, when I spoke Sunday, I thought that I might finish it up tonight, but I won't. So we'll hit the third one tonight. And really, it's amazing, and everything is flowing just like it ought to. Job chapter 23, I'm going to let you remain seated. Job chapter 23, we're going to look at verse 11 and verse number 12 of the 23rd chapter of the book of Job. Job 23, verse 11 and verse number 12. Job said, my feet hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Again, I don't know, you know, the exact length of the message. I know God will give us everything that we need tonight. I'm preaching on this subject. It's absolutely necessary. Part 3. Let's get some help. Father, thank you for just allowing us to be here this evening. Father, we thank you for how you reminded us of the fact that we have been redeemed. And Father, we don't take that for granted. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, Father, as we look into thy word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we know that this is a serious thing, as Brother Larry also mentioned, Father, and I'm praying right now that you would help us to be able to take this word and apply it to our lives. Father, I know you want to bless us. You want to do great things in our lives individually and yet collectively. And I pray that you'll help us tonight to apply this food that you've given to us that is more necessary than physical food. Father, please take full control right now. Give us the appetite of Job in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I told you last Wednesday and this past Sunday that by the time you reach the 23rd chapter of the book of Job, just in case you weren't here for those two messages, I know we have some in here who were not, by the time you reach that 23rd chapter of the book of Job, I mean, Job has gone through so much. He's lost all 10 of his children. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost all of his servants except for the ones I mentioned who came and told him about what was transpiring. Job really went through a plethora of horrible things in his life by the time he reached his 23rd chapter. Job was in a serious state. But as I've told you already in 2 previous messages, that Job had something in his life that was absolutely necessary. He said that he esteemed the words of God's mouth really more than his necessary food. And I told you how that word esteem, it comes from the Hebrew word safan, which means he hoarded them up. It means he hid them within. Job was saying that the word of God was more important to him than physical food was to sustain his physical life. You know, there are times when we see things in the Word of God and we say, well, there's no way that a person could really mean what they're actually saying. But see, anytime you're reading the Word of God, you've got to understand the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that it is God-breathed. And you see certain things in Scripture because you scratch your head and say, did he really mean that? Well, if it's pinned down in Scripture, he meant it. You look at Paul. Paul said, I could wish myself accursed from God for my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was saying that I could literally wish, if it was possible, he knew it wasn't, but he was saying if it was possible, I would like for God to banish me from heaven forever. No, blot my name out of the book of life. Don't write me in with the living. Allow me to go not to heaven, but go to hell and spend all of eternity in hell. just if my brethren according to the flesh could be saved. You say, how could a person have that kind of desire to where they would be willing to spend eternity in hell for their brethren, their kinsmen according to the flesh? It's hard for us to understand that unless you know the person's heart. You think about it. What if you were posed with that particular question about your child? And I didn't even have this in my message, but I'm just throwing it in here. What if you were posed with that question about your child? Either you go to hell or your child go to hell. That's something serious. That's something serious. Paul was serious when he meant that. And by the way, when Job said that he esteemed the words of God's mouth to him more than his necessary food, Job wasn't playing around. Job was serious because he knows what life is all about. And in order for you to make it, you must have the word. You know what I wish tonight? I wish tonight that we can get the mentality of one brother. One brother said, if there's no Bible for me, there's no breakfast for me. I guarantee all of us will be running to the Bible, amen, so because you always run into the breakfast table. I don't care if you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and get you a ham and egg biscuit. Praise God, you're going to put something in your soul. Listen, we ought not to let day after day after day after day after day go by and not read this book and expect to have victory in our life. It will not happen. My desire, my prayer, my heart's desire for each and every person in this building is I want you to experience the power of God on your life, the blessings of God on your life. I want God's blessings to flow not only on you. I want to spill over to your husband, spill over to your wife, spill over to your children. I want the blessings of God on your life, and you've got to have the word in order to have the blessings. You need the word of God in your life. And you can't make it by parasiting off of somebody else. We can't be parasitic and expect to be able to live this life. No, no, no. Just because your husband's in the word or your wife is in the word, you've got to be in the word. Just because your mother's in the word or your father's in the word, you've got to be in the word. Just because your children are in the word, you've got to be in the word. In other words, if you can hear me speaking, if you are breathing tonight, you need to be in the word. And I'm talking about esteeming this book more than your necessary food. Do you know that this book here will guide you? It will help you. It will strengthen you. It will bless you. You cannot make it without this book. I said this book. I said this book. This word of God is absolutely necessary. It is essential. You've got to have it in your life. If you're going to make it, you need it. And Job said, I've got to have this word. Every day I wake up, I've got to have it. See, before I get into my point tonight, I want to drive home the necessity of being in God's word. I'm not up here sounding like some fine-tuned instrument, even though I may strike a negative chord every now and then. I'm up here because I want you to not think of me as just some instrument that's being played or an individual to entertain you, because I'm not about entertaining you. I'm about conveying truth to you that can change your life. I'm trying to sense if we're ready to move on. I just want you to know that as believers, we love to eat. We love to eat, we do. Well, if we love to eat comida, food, that's Spanish, and I didn't even intend to do that. That comes out sometime. That's happened a couple of times now. But if I'm intending to eat food and I've got that desire to eat it, and I know I need it, I've got to have it. Then that means I've got to have a stated diet of this word. And I think it's about time we put everybody in check. All of us. It's about time we put everybody in check. And say, you've got to have that word. I don't have this anymore. I've got to say it. I don't think she'll mind me saying it. I really don't. But I think everything happens for a reason. Sister Willette sitting back over here. Sunday, she was tore up about something. She talked to us out here in the hallway. She's talking to us about the hallway. I'm not going to tell you what we were talking about, but we were talking about out here in the hallway. And I told her, I said, God will give you an answer. Told me during handshaking time. She said, God gave me my answer. And she said, God gave it to me from the word. And she gave me the chapter and the verse during handshaking time that God used to speak to her. See, that's what I'm saying. If she just tried to make it on her own, she would be in turmoil. But see, she knew. She'd been around long enough to know I've got to go to that word. And when you get to that word, God will give you the answer that you need. See, we have to esteem the words of his mouth more than our necessary food. Last Wednesday night I said, in point number one, the word of God is absolutely necessary for victory over the devil. Then I said this past Sunday, the word of God is absolutely necessary for life. And now tonight, point number three, the word of God is absolutely necessary for an effective prayer life. I said the word of God is absolutely necessary for an effective prayer life. We can look at different scriptures, but look at Job 42, verse 1 down through verse number 8. Go to Job 42, last chapter in the book of Job. Job 42, verse 1 down through verse number 8. Listen, how many times have you and I, brother, we need an answer from God, and God spoke to us through his word. If that's ever happened to you, say amen. Listen, my neighbor, while you're trying to find it, you ought to be there by now. My neighbor was looking over the back fence, and he was saying, what happened? He said, how did you get grass to grow that quick? Some of you remember, I told you, I've been praying about that thing, talking to God about that thing, opened my Bible up, reading that morning, and God said to me, I think it was in the morning time, and he said, in the morning, sow thy seed. Brother, I sowed the seed, and God's been giving us rain galore, and that grass has been growing. My neighbor, he couldn't even figure it out. He said, man, thing was just dirt. Now it's just covered with grass. See, God can speak through his word. Notice Job chapter 42. Notice verse 1 down through verse number 8. It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Oh, listen to me, listen to me. Hey, we have a God who says, I accept Job Wait a minute. Notice verse number 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Listen, because the words of God, you notice where I put that, the words, plural, of God were hoarded up in Job's life. He was able to live a righteous life. We touched on that Sunday. And because he was able to live a righteous life, that didn't mean that he was perfect. We know that he wasn't perfect. Matter of fact, but he was a person when he did something wrong, hey, he got it right with God. He got to the place where he said, you know something, I abhor myself. And see, sometimes we have to get to that place when he wasn't perfect, but he knew what it was to confess and to get right and to live right before God. And therefore, his prayer life could be effective. God didn't want to hear anything they had to say. God said his friends had to say, but God would accept Job. See, when you put the word of God in your life, we can look at other scriptures in Job where Job talked to God. But when you put the word of God in your life, it literally allows your prayer life to be effective. See, it is absolutely necessary for you to have the word of God in your life, and God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord and I change not. Hebrews 13, verse number 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at St. John 15. Look at St. John chapter 15. Do you know every time you are in this book and you're reading the word, when you come to the house of God and you're listening to the word, applying the word to your life, you are literally hoarding the word up. And something happens when that happens. Look at John chapter 15. And I want you to notice verse number 7. John chapter 15. Notice verse number 7. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words. Everybody help me out. Say it again. Words. Say it again. Words. Say it again. Words. Abide in you. Now wait a minute. Notice this. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. See, we know that anytime you're interpreting scripture, you interpret scripture in the light of all of scripture. And First John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So you know you have to marry John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you with 1 John. And we know we have to ask according to his will. Because if it was not according to his will and anything we ask, we got it, and it wasn't even his will, then that means you could say, God, give me $1 million and here it is. God, give me a Cadillac. Well, I don't know if that's the best car now. But whatever it is, Lexus, give me a Lexus. Give me a good car. Give me a good car. Mercedes, amen, all right. I know he gets them car magazines. He can tell me everything about them, amen. So a Mercedes, Lamborghinis, whatever it is, you can pray God to give it to you. Do you know something? If God gave us everything we prayed for, most of us wouldn't even be in here tonight. We wouldn't. God gave you $10 million right now. I guarantee some of you think, I'd be in church. We couldn't find you with a search warrant. I'm taking me a European cruise. Alaskan cruise. I come back and let Pastor Dennis see my face for about one Sunday. Amen. We'll have time for one time too. Amen. You would think God knows what we can handle. He does. But see, so I want you to interpret scripture in the light of all of scripture. But what will happen is your prayer life will be effective. You will be able to get answers from God when you pray. But that doesn't mean that he will give you everything that you want. So you've got to understand that and keep that in mine. So now, once we begin to pray, God allows our prayer life to be effective. Effective. If we have the word of God abiding in us, and Jesus is trying to teach that, it must take up residence in our life. So when we read the word of God, memorize the word of God, apply the word of God to our lives, then God's word is abiding in us. And so when we pray, we can see God move and answer our prayers. And sometimes his answer may be no, but God can answer our prayer. See, we need to have this book because we need to be able to pray, and we are living in a time when we really need to pray. And you've got some people who make fun of prayer. They don't believe in prayer. Matter of fact, when I was working at Wells Fargo, Wachovia back then, but Wells Fargo today, and I've told you the story here before how I was going to preach in a different area, and I got an envelope. My wife and I, we got an envelope and wrote on there the destination. I was in Bible college, didn't have, you know, any money to be able to make it there. I figured once I get there, they would take care of me, but I had to get there. And so we didn't have any money, set aside an envelope, just prayed. Professor came in and said, somebody at my church wanted me to give you this and hand it to me. And did the same thing again. And so you've heard the story before. I was telling that story at Wachovia. Just sitting behind my desk talking to another gentleman behind the desk, other people around, and I would just tell him that story. And he said, listen. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, people know that you're in Bible college. And the only reason why you got that was because people knew that you were in Bible college, and so somebody just gave that money to you because they knew you. It had anything to do with God. It didn't have anything to do with prayer. When God answers prayer. Because if God didn't answer prayer, and it was just a coincidence, or they just knew, so then they just gave it, didn't have anything to do with God, well, how come they didn't give me any money before or after? Why, just for that particular time? You've heard me tell the story about a lady who would pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and get answers to prayer. And then she would go around and testify about it in the community. And one man who was an atheist in that community, and he heard, one day he was walking by the house and he heard her praying. And he stood up there, you know how he had the door open so forth. He just stood and listened to it and went on. And then he came back later when the door was closed and then put some food and stuff out there that she had prayed for and then left. He figured he was going to play a joke on her. And so she went up and got that food, and she started testifying, went around testifying. And he said, hey, I'll tell you what, so that wasn't God. You know what it was? I put that food out there. You didn't pray for that. I put it out there. And she looked at him and said, well, the devil may have brought it, but God sent it. Amen. Amen. The devil may have brought it, praise God, but God sent it. You have people like that. They do not believe in prayer. And see, Job lived in a society where you had lost people who believed that way. You say, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. Look with me in Job chapter 21. Look with me in Job chapter 21. Because you will have people today tell you you've got to work for everything you get. And by the way, you ought to work. I'm not talking about that. But there are times you can pray and God can give you something and you don't always have to work for it. You don't always have to have a natural way of defining something. God works in the supernatural. Notice Job 21. Notice verse 13 down through verse 15. Job 21. Notice verse 13 down through verse 15. Talking about the wicked, the lost world. I won't read you everything, but notice verse 13 down through verse 15. It says, they spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? That's what the lost world was saying. Now, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, they're flowing. They've got plenty of money. They've got wealth, not realizing that God sends his rain on the just and the unjust. But yet they were saying, who's God? We don't need him. What profit is that we pray unto him? We have everything we need. What is there about prayer? What is there about this God? We are our own. We have done this. We have accomplished this. Isn't it a good thing that man's not God? If man was God, as I've said a number of times, there wouldn't be nothing but a bunch of smoldering shoe soles left. Zap! Smoke coming from the shoes. Amen. That's all that's left. But thank God we're not God. Because there would have been a time when our shoes would have been smoldering. Somebody say amen right there. Job had that word in him that made him righteous, and his prayer was effective. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It doesn't say that the effectual fervent prayer availeth much. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So what does that mean? When we get this word in us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So now, once we have the word of God in our hearts, now we can walk right and upright before God as we live out this truth, and then we are righteous before him. See, there is positional sanctification. In other words, once you are saved, you're saved. But then there is progressive sanctification where we confess and we get right and we clean up our lives. We draw closer to him, and we need the word in our lives in order to do that. And see, when we are righteous before him and when we are clean before him, and then when we pray, our prayer life is effective, and you must have the word of God on the inside of you. The two go hand in hand. I guarantee you, I could spend an hour up here just proving that point. But if you want to be blessed, you've got to have a relationship with the word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What does Psalm 1 say? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, what's going to happen? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's where the blessing's coming in. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. That's preservation. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's prosperity. See, when we get planted, we receive preservation and prosperity. And if you want your prayer life to be effective, then you've got to know what it is to be in this book and let this book be in you. Job hoarded up the word, and therefore his prayer life was effective. God said, okay, I'll accept him. God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Let me tell you something, and I'm thinking that God is leading me in a certain way sometime here in the very near future, because I think that many people have no idea as far as what's going to take place in the end times, what's going to be happening, a lot of things going on in our world, and I'm really thinking about doing a series on it maybe sometime in the summer if the Holy Spirit gives me and the leeway to do it. Sometimes as a pastor, you've got so many things you want to share, but I'm telling you today, we live in a world to where we better know what it is to pray. There are some things coming down the pike. And I'm not here to try to bring fear into anybody, but we're moving right where we're supposed to. This nation is in trouble. And God's going to call our number pretty soon. And in order to be able to make it in this life, you're going to have to know what it is to pray. Matter of fact, you already experiencing some things. The only way you're going to make it financially in the future, better know what it is to pray. Talk to God and watch God move and work. This nation has played around with God too long. This country's in bad shape. Our money is not worth anything. We are living in a serious time. This country's in bad shape. When we can allow the homosexual community to come out the closet and we applaud them, and yet we tell Christians or somebody who has an opinion different from that, you go into the closet, you don't say anything, but the homosexuals can say anything they want to say, and you better not call them a name. But yet you can joke and play around with Christians and mock some who pray, as I've seen others do. And we applaud the homosexual crowd. And yet we denigrate those who have a different opinion and who has an opinion that is in line with the word of God. We are acting like present day Sodom and Gomorrah. That's right. Come on, man. Hey, man. That's right. Come on. We've got people today who are protecting endangered animals because they say the animals can't protect themselves. But yet 1.5 million babies who cannot protect themselves are being destroyed. Annually, we are in trouble. Yes, sir. Come on. This nation will call on God when there's a 9/11 or when there's a Persian Gulf War. But as soon as everything is over with, as soon as deliverance comes, as soon as things get better, what do? We create our molten calves of our own iniquity and parade around saying, these are our gods. God will one day call us into account. We live in a country where the pastor of one of the largest churches in America, and maybe even the world, but definitely in America, will speak in the same meeting that an atheist is speaking in, who makes no bones about it when he stands up there that he is an atheist, and we call that progress. This nation is in trouble. Instead of this nation borrowing principles from the Word of God that would allow us to be able to make proper decisions, we are borrowing money that we don't have, and we are printing money that we ought not to be printing, and we call it trying to balance the budget. That is idiotic. That's like saying, I'm in debt. I can't pay my mortgage. I can't pay my light bill. I can't pay my gas bill. But in order for me to get out of debt, what I'm going to do is I'm going to max out every credit card that I have, and I'm going to go on a spending spree, and I'm going to buy me a new car. I'm going to buy me some new clothes. I'm going to help some of my relatives out with my credit cards, and this will help me to get out of debt. You will say, well, that's idiotic. Well, we've got some idiots up there in Washington who believe that. And this generation, not 40 years from now, this generation is going to pay for it. And some things already coming down the line. We need deliverance because God's judgment is going to fall. And do you know the people who will be delivered will be those people who are living a righteous life. And those people who are in the book, and those two things go together. If you're not in the book, you're not living a righteous life. Let me show you something from the Word of God. We talk about Job. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 14. Notice Ezekiel chapter 14. I'm on my last page of notes. You're going to get out early tonight. Unless the Holy Spirit says something different. Notice Ezekiel chapter 14. Notice verse 12 down through verse number 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Notice verse 12 down through verse number 14. I'm not going to read it. I want you to get there first. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right, that sounds like the majority. Notice Ezekiel 14. Notice verse 12 down through verse number 14. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously. Sounds like us. Even though we know it's talking about Jerusalem. Then will I stretch out mine hand upon it. Get the principle. And will break the staff of the bread thereof. And will send famine upon it. And will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Do you know what God is saying? God is saying that he was going to bring about judgment. And God said, if these three men were in there, he said, the only ones that they would deliver would be themselves. But see, notice God has Job in here. So if God has Job in here, that's telling me something. Job's righteous. We know Job was in the book. Well, in getting the words from God's mouth, the Bible wasn't written at that time, but getting the word from God's mouth, he was still getting the word of God. We know that he had the word and he was living right. And God said they would be delivered, but the others would not. So you're going to have people make fun of you because you read your Bible. You'll have people make fun of you because you live righteous. But when God drops the hammer on America, and it will come, you say you are prophesying doom. You know what's amazing? They even say the same thing about Jeremiah. When Jeremiah was telling them that this is what's going to happen, they got upset and angry and mad at Jeremiah, and all Jeremiah was doing was just telling them what God had said. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know when you go against the word of God, there's always going to be consequences, and we are going against the word of God, and we're calling it tolerance, acceptance. We feel like as if everything is okay. No, let me tell you something. God is a just God, but I'm trying to show you how to make it regardless of what's going on in this world. And when other things are going on, and when people are dealing with things, and when people don't know how to make it, God will be sending ravens your way. God will be supplying you. He'll let you be drinking from the brook while other people are going around trying to find water. You'll be right there at the brook drinking, and if your brook dries up, he knows how to touch somebody else to take care of you, and he'll keep dumping it on them so they can dump it on you. That's the way God works. He'll keep this process going. He'll take care of you. Let people make fun of you because you're trying to live right, holy, and righteous. Let them make fun of you because you're sticking with the principles of this book. Let them shun you because you're going to operate your life by the word and not by the way you feel. You're going to go by God's book and by God's ways and not by the ways of the world. Let them make fun. When God's judgment falls, you will be outside and God's blessings will be all over you, and others won't even know how to make ends meet, can't even find the ends to make them meet, and they won't know how you're making it, but you're going to be making it because God takes care of his own. Ezekiel 14, 15 through 20, and everybody needs to get this for themselves. Notice verse 15, Ezekiel 14. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. And if I bring a sword upon the land and say, sword, go throughout the land, so will I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver, notice this, neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. You know what that's saying? That's saying that if Noah was there, the only person who would be delivered is Noah. If Daniel was there, he is the only one. If Job was there, he's the only one. Do you know mother, father, son, daughter? Everybody must get in this book and live right for themselves. Parents, you ought to be telling your children. And don't wait until they've reached those teen years to start teaching them. You ought to have, if you've got little kids, you ought to have a family devotion with those little kids. And teach them the Bible. Teach them the word of God. We had family devotions in our home when our kids were younger. Then once they got old enough to where they could get it on their own, we would tell our kids, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And we would check on them. We would say, read your Bible in a year, read your Bible in a year, read your Bible in a year. And we would check on them to make sure that they were reading their Bibles. We've got one here. Matter of fact, our son just said amen. He knows that. Because, see, you've got to get that word in them while they are young. And then as they become teens, they ought to be able to get it on their own, but don't take it for granted. You know what's amazing? Sometimes we'll say, okay, my child, I want my child to get a good education. And we'll do all we can to make sure they get a good education. And nothing wrong with that. All three of our children have gone to schools of higher learning. Two out of three of them have two degrees. Well, the other one will get a degree here, in the second degree. Our son Scott, in just a few more months, he'll get his second degree. And in January, and by the way, and graduate with high honors. I think everything now is like a 4.0, if I'm not mistaken, 4.0. And so he'll graduate with high honors. But it's not at the expense of God's word. And I'd rather, and I know you think I'm joking about this, I'd rather for him and our other three kids' grammar to be so bad until where they say, I ain't got no, and I don't have none, than to be able to have five adjectives to describe one noun. And don't know God, and don't live for God, and not in the word of God. I believe you can have both. Both. I'm not putting a premium on ignorance. Excuse me. I'm not. And don't feel like as if you have to use any kind of, don't try to, anyway, I'm about to get off on something. Be yourself. But if your child is going to make it, they must be in the book. They've got to be in the book. Because there is going to come a time when the dollar bill's not going to matter. I'm telling you, the dollar bill is not going to matter. What's going to matter is your relationship to God. That's what's going to matter. I can guarantee you, probably within the next week, you'll hear somebody say something similar to what I just said. I've seen it time and time again. Anytime God lays something on one preacher's heart, he lays it on other ministers' hearts. I've seen it because God tried to get his word out there, and God is going to judge America. And when God judges America, the ones who are going to be standing are the ones who are in his word, living by his book, and living righteous. We can trick man, but God sees everything. I feel this message. I'm telling you the truth. I don't lay awake at night worrying about the economy. I'm telling you, I don't. I'm not fretting about the future. I know who holds the future. And everything is all right. All I've got to do is just do what's right. You're going to have an effective prayer life to be able to make it. When finances are tight, we need God to answer. When we are sick, we need God to answer. Listen, you want to know why I pressed my way out a couple of Sundays ago when I was in pain? And by the way, I'm not just saying this because I'm preaching and I'm getting ready to close. But you know why I pushed myself out? Because I know. I've been around this thing long. I'm saved 33 years. I know. What's going to bring the moving of God quicker than anything else? You get up under his word. Get in his house. Get up under his word. Get in his house. I'd already asked Son Seth to preach that Wednesday, but I and it was about 6-something. And I was on the floor doing this. My wife said, she said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to see if I can go to church." I was in pain, but I had so much pain I couldn't. I had to get over into bed, amen, and try to find some kind of relief, turn somewhere to try to get some kind of relief. I took these pills they gave me, hydrocodone or something like that. Brother, I took two of them. And Brother Terry, when they came home, I was asleep. I was asleep. I wanted to, you know, try to at least stay in the bed and be awake and say, "How did it go?" Boom, I was gone. Amen. I'm going to knock you out. But you want to know why? But I came, I said, I'm going to be there Sunday. I'm going to be there Sunday. Came in here. I knew it was a test. Told you about that Sunday. And man, I had to stand up. I said, "Well, I come in my office." Because the sciatic nerve would run straight down here. So if you just sit down, you're sitting on the nerve. So that's pain. I said, "Well, what I do, I'll try to stand up in my office, sit down a little bit, stand up in my office, sit down a little bit until time came. The electricity stuff was going to have to stand up for an hour and a half, working on the electricity, tracing the lines and so forth, and trying to figure things out. And I figured out it was a transformer, but I thought it was our transformer, but it was Duke's Powers. But either way, it was still a transformer. When I came out, after standing up down there, and the Lord knows, he's my witness, when I was, you don't know the pain that I was in. But I said, "You know something? Here's what I said. I already prayed and talked to God, so I had that aspect." I said, "All right, Marine, suck it up." That's what I said. I said, "Suck it up. Suck it up, Marine." That's right. Suck it up. Suck it up. I'm already trusting God. All right? You got that training for something. You let them things eat in your face, those sand fleas, and you couldn't scratch them. You're going through some pain. Go through it. I sat here and tried to do that, and I couldn't. So I just sat here like this. Sat here like this. I got up, and I said, "When I'm coming to the pulpit, I said, I'm not going to preach with a cane." I had it, but I said, "I'm not going to preach with it. I'm going to preach just like I am." And I was preaching. And one time I came over to Gilman Street, and I came down, and I got down here. You ever did something you knew you shouldn't have done that? I talked a little bit about that Sunday, and I wasn't joking. When I did that, and I got back up the whole time, even my back over here, I said, "You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that." I felt that, amen. You can get in your message sometime. You get in your message, and then you do something. I felt that. I got carried away. I felt it. I paid for when I got back home, too. I felt it. But I knew I needed to get in God's house, get in God's word. Listen, we are experiencing trouble. We need to pray. We need God to answer. James 5:13 says, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Afflicted means you're going to experience in trouble. You got to know what it is to pray. Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Trouble is coming. Yes, sir. God will deliver the righteous out of all of them. Yes, Psalm 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. How many times does God have to tell us something in order to get it? When others are suffering, we need God to answer. Proverbs 28, verse number 9, in closing. Proverbs 28, verse number 9. I'm not trying to take your shout. I'm trying to help you out. Proverbs 28, verse number 9. Notice this in closing. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. I didn't put that in the Bible. God did. God put that in his word. I would not be a good pastor if I didn't share that verse with you. God gave it to me. Matter of fact, I didn't even have this in my sermon. I wrote it in ink today. I typed my messages up. I wrote it in ink today, because today God just began to put in my heart. Whoa. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'll share it. It's the truth. If you don't stay faithful to God's house, because if you're not faithful, you turn away your ear from hearing the law. If you don't stay in this book, you're turning away your ear from hearing the law. Then God said, your prayer shall be an abomination. I didn't say that. God said it. It's been in his word. It was penned 1,000 years before Christ came. It's been in the word for 3,000 years. I don't care who you are. If you're not in this book, pray all you want. God says your prayers are an abomination. You say, you being mean tonight. No, I'm not. I'm giving what God has said. I trust by God's grace that we will say, I'm going to get into this book, and I'm going to be faithful to God's house. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let it go, because I know how it is in summertime. Summertime, we feel like it's time to take vacations from God. And vacations are good, and everybody needs them, amen? But we are not to be gone every other week for 3 months. Every pastor fears summer, because they know attendance drops. You want to know why? Because we love pleasure more than we love God. God is the same God in the summertime, yes, as he is in the winter and the fall. Yes, and if you want to see God work in your life in the fall and in the spring and in the winter, then don't divorce him in the summer. Be true to him in the summer. I went longer than what I wanted, but if I had to, I'd stay here at 10 o'clock. For you to get what I'm saying. Because I'm feeling something in my soul. And it's scaring me. It's scaring me. But God wants us to be righteous. And by the way, this is not even in my book. And I don't even know why I'm saying this. But God don't want us to be two-faced. God doesn't want us to be two-faced. One way in church we're around people. And then another way we're You got to be true to this thing. True to this thing. True to this thing. God's given us way too much truth. I want God's blessing upon your life. Do you know when God touched me? God touched me while I was preparing the word. I told you. I was in my office preparing the word. And I felt something. I would just say, Mom, I felt something. I said, what was it? And I stood up. I'm talking about on this leg. I had to move around. Brother, I'm hopping. Everything is right here. By the grace of God, I'm a pastor. But I'm telling you right now, I'm in this book every day. I'm not talking about just prepared sermons. If the only time a preacher is in this book is when he's preparing sermons, he is in trouble, and before long, the devil will take him down. I'm in this book every day because I know I've got to have food to make it. Because if the devil is coming after you who's sitting on the pew, and you know you have battles with the devil, shake your head. Shake your head. Throat's not cut. Amen. Shake your head. Won't fall. You have battles with the devil. Amen. There's a principle in the word of God. Smite the shepherd. Scripture say, and the sheep shall be scattered. Don't you think the devil comes after me left and right with all kind of things? Just left and right, left and right, left and right. I can get up sometime, and he's already dancing. Come on, get up. Come on, come on, come on. Get up. Get up. That's the way he is, amen. Every day, there is a battle. So now, if he's going to be bouncing around my room, and stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't you go around here from here saying, well, you know something, Pastor Dennis was talking about his wife. You better cut that out right now, amen. You just cut that out. I'm squashing that right here. My wife is an encourager, amen. She is an encourager. One time I was going, my wife didn't always sit there. There was another time she was sitting in another place. But there were just stuff's going to church, you know, back. My wife started sitting here. She said, anything start going to church, you just look at me. Just look at me. Amen. You remember telling me that? You just look at me. Because folk will tear their face up. Now, not you. You good people. You really, I know you think I'm joking, but amen. You good, but I've passed some, you know, for they. I mean, I'm halfway smiling because it's hard for me to time to tear my face up. But I'm telling you, I've seen some things. I've seen some things. I've seen some things. And brother, I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for this book, I couldn't make it. And if it's not for this book, you won't make it. And if you want to see God move in your life, get in this book. Let's bow for prayer.